family means everything.
Our parents, they were really supportive that all five of us would join. I got my education because of the Guard. I got to travel a little bit and experience a whole different culture. It helped me get my job, helped me pay for my house.
Serving part-time in the Army National Guard instills pride that you and your family will share. Visit NationalGuard.com to learn more about part-time service. Sponsored by the Louisiana Army National Guard. Aired by the Louisiana Association of Broadcasters and this station.
The trained soldiers of the Army National Guard are a new generation of leaders called to serve and make a difference. Do you want to make a difference? During our Hiring Days event, May 10th to June 14th, we're hiring highly motivated candidates for part-time careers in the Army National Guard. You can work or attend college full-time while you earn a paycheck and great benefits. Learn more about serving part-time in the Army National Guard at nationalguard.com/hiringdays.
Sponsored by the Louisiana Army National Guard. Aired by the Louisiana Association of Broadcasters and this station.
You're listening to ESPN 100.3 FM, KLRZ, La Rose, New Orleans, and the River Region.
It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Hello, sports fans.
Well, hello there.
Local sports, national sports. The GCAT has got you covered.
Oh, you made a wise choice, my friend.
Time to tee it up and let it fly. It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Check it out,
John. 800-998-1003. The NBA playoffs got three games lined up tonight. Last night, 76ers Wizards, Washington won 122-114. Fan ran out on the floor. Russell Westbrook, we played that earlier. What he had to say, I
didn't even see it. I was in the back, but when I was walking out, I didn't know what happened. But you know, as fans, my advice is just watch the game, enjoy it. Obviously, COVID, nobody's kind of been at games or been at arenas, but we got to make sure we be mindful of this is our job. You know, this is not a game or some shit. You can just kind of just do whatever you want to do and run around and come do whatever. This is our job. Like, we take our job very seriously. It may look fun, entertaining, but it is our job, and we take it very seriously. So I think as fans, just my advice is just to be watch the game, enjoy it, and sit back, whatever, and that's it.
So I'd love to hear from you. Open phone lines, 800-998-1003. It is one of the questions of the day here. What do you think should happen? That's a fan running out to the court. Back on Sunday, Kyrie Irving stomps on the Celtic logo. I guess it upsets his 21-year-old, who then grabs his water bottle, hurls it at his head as he's going into the tunnel. He gets arrested. Kyrie after the game.
Underlying racism and just treating people like they're in a human zoo. You know, throwing stuff at people, saying things. You know, there's a certain point where it just gets to be too much. So, you know, I called it out. I just wanted to keep it strictly basketball. And then you just see that people just feel very entitled out here. You know, they pay for the tickets. Great. I'm grateful that they're coming in to watch a great performance, but it's just, you know, we're not at the theater. We're not throwing tomatoes and other random stuff at the people that are performing. You know, it's too much.
Rafael suggested a hefty fine. Maddie, are you along those lines? I'm trying to think of what can be done more than this. Because, look, I don't want to say ban fans because of bad apples.
Yeah.
Right? But if you're going to be a bad apple, we've seen arenas ban you indefinitely from attending anything in that building. That's a pretty big thing, because you can't go there for a concert, you can't go there for Disney on Ice, you can't go there for a game. But I don't know. What else can be a deterrent?
I mean, and I actually am curious to kind of look more into this and kind of see what, you know, not like as much, but kind of, you know, legal contractual power that the league has. But I just did want to, like, you know, your point about, you know, not banning fans. I mean, because of one bad apple, well, it, you know, in soccer, when one of our teammates effed up, we all ran sprints. Like, that's how it is in sports. So honestly, like, I wouldn't be against a temporary ban on fans at games mm-hmm. for the remainder of the NBA playoffs if it continues like this. Because, again, sports are privileged. They are not a right. They're not even close to being a right. So if fans can't control themselves, then I'm fully behind the fine thing, but if that's not imposable, then I don't see any type of other solution, you know, as much as an immediate sense, then perhaps, like I said, if this continues, no more fans for the rest of the playoffs. Maybe then people
I'm just give me a call. I'd love to know or text us. By the way, I should be doing this. I'm sorry a lot more. What's your email handle? I mean, your email. My email. Goodness gracious. Twitter handle.
I guess, you know, if you want my email, you can message me for that as well. But Natty Hudak underscore 94. Thank you.
My brain's just not working this morning. I told you it feels like a Monday. Uptown Ruler, give me your thoughts, sir. How are you?
Well, I think he should be suspended and fined for doing stuff like that. I think the fans should never be thrown out the game, but I think they should be suspended from coming to a certain amount of games, and I think he should be fined.
Hmm. What do you mean? So, like, how big a fine? Raphael suggested $10K.
And do you, and when you say, like, you don't, like, do you mean, like, a temporary ban as opposed to a lifetime ban on sports?
Yeah, a little temporary ban to give him a warning, because next time he'll be thrown out for good. Give him a warning and let him know what it is, and, you know, and next time he'll be thrown out for good.
I mean, yeah, but at the same time, I'm of the thought of what does that, you know, why should that fan deserve to, I mean, I'm not saying forever, but maybe the next season. I mean, if you're going to affect the game, affect players, and like, you hear Kyrie Irving's comments and right. how they can't, you know, separate this, and rightfully so, from feelings of racism and things like that, you know?
Well, both of them played a part in this, right?
What
was it both of them or just the fan?
No, I mean, the fan threw a bottle. Just because he stomped on the logo, I'm assuming that's what set the guy off. I don't know. I mean,
again, I'll go back to Tia.
Regardless, I mean, if I dunk and I, you know, I mean, like Trae Young goes, it's quiet as you know what in here after he knocks down the shot to win it. That still doesn't mean you should throw something at because just beat your team. I mean, I just now
no,
game later he got spit on.
Look, fans should know how to conduct themselves at a game, no matter who wins the game, no matter what goes on.
Mm-hmm.
Fans should know how to conduct themselves. They grown. They come to a basketball game. They ain't come to a boxing match. They ain't came to wrestle with the person or throw things at the person. I think they know how to conduct themselves, should know how to conduct themselves in the game. Because if I go to a Saints game, And somebody see a legal hit and they tell me about it. Well, I'm not going to get all upset about it and throw things at the man who did the illegal hit. The referee's supposed to be in charge of that. Okay. The referee don't see it. He can't call it. Okay. But, that brings on another subject when, they did us wrong in the playoff game against
please.
The Rams. I'm saying, you know, I mean, fans should know how to conduct themselves in a proper manner and know how to behave when you go to all these events. Mm-hmm. And if you can't conduct yourself and can't behave in a proper manner, then maybe you ought not go.
I'm literally sitting here. I'm Uptown Ruler, baby's preaching it. Let
me say this on the Saints.
Mm-hmm.
I think Jameis Winston is going to take us to the playoffs next year. If he's our quarterback, guess what? He's going to take us to the Super Bowl. I'm putting it down. Put it down and tell you I said so.
All right, Uptown.
Y'all going to announce when y'all going back to Tracy's, right?
I know. I know you're craving the shrimp po' boy. I know you want the roast beef. I know you want the cheesy gravy fries. When we get there, I promise I'll let you know well in advance of it happening.
And my daiquiri. Because, football season
don't
have
a daiquiri
season
there, but I will find a way to get you a daiquiri.
Okay.
Football season is
daiquiri season for me.
I hear you. All right, let me get over to Jack here real quick. Thank you, sir. Appreciate
it. I'm out.
Yep. Oh, by the way, you do know what today is, huh, Maddie? Well, I asked you just at the start of the show.
June 1st.
What is June 1st? There's two things
chaos.
You should... About?
Hopefully. This is when the cap hits are
yes!
We'll
party. Find out about Julio. Got some sound on Julio. Could Rodgers be gone, buddy? It's not going to happen like immediately today. Well, maybe. I don't know. On Julio Watch. Jack, how are you today?
Hey, how y'all doing?
Doing well, sir.
Look, I think you should make, I told you, you need to make the uptown ruler work for his cheese fries. Put him with Jordan when you're out. Mm-hmm. Just a thought. Look, as far as what to do with the fans who can't seem to control themselves,
yep.
I think the penalty should be that they have to listen to Christian Garrick do interviews for a year. I think that's a strict penalty.
Interesting.
I think that would be a huge penalty. Yeah,
right.
I'm a slide right. I know you don't want to. I know you don't want to do that. But look, as far as the Tebow thing goes, look, I'm not a Tebow hater, okay? But if you were a Jacksonville fan, do you think that's the right way to go? He's 33 years old. He hadn't played in 8 years,
right?
And you're looking to rebuild something. I think it's a bad sign to send to the whole team. And it doesn't happen to any other place but Florida.
I know, but Jack,
and Urban Meyer.
Okay, so explain this to me, though. You were 1-15 last year.
Right.
You were 1-15 last year, so you turn the keys over to a guy that you are hiring in hopes that does turn things around. And if that
right.
person feels that for whatever his reason is, benefits his team to have him in there, I guess what I'm saying is, as an organization, a fan base, are we already questioning him now? Like, we haven't had a real full team practice just yet. Like, are we questioning him now? Aside from the fact that, like, we talked about before.
And he's also not on the roster yet.
He just signed a deal. You have to sign a deal to practice. So, like, when you see
right.
he signs a one-year deal, you have to have a deal to get onto the field. Like, you can't, even in the tryouts, they sign a tryout deal so you can actually go out there in case you get hurt. So he has to make the final 53, and
right.
if he makes the final 53 and actually can be a what does Taysom Hill do primarily? This is before he started competing for the quarterback, right? He was
quarterback
run straight ahead and try to run over somebody. If he provides that and gets yardage and gets you a first down, are you up in arms then? I don't know. Let's see what happens. I just, my whole thing about this is what's incredible is the guy is in incredible shape, probably has done more than most of the NFL players on the field in college. He's won multiple national championships and was incredible. Now, I know that was 10, 15, 20. I understand that. But what's incredible to me is the amount of people that automatically, he can't do it. That guy literally did more in college football than some of the players he played against in the NFL when he was with Denver. Like, literally.
Well, look, Gus, I'm not saying he can't. First of all, I don't think Taysom Hill's a quarterback, and
right.
I think he's a much better thrower than Tim Tebow ever was.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And look, my thing is not whether he can do it for this year. I think you're rebuilding a franchise. And I don't think I'm going to be alone here. I think a lot of the guys on that are trying for this team, they're already on a roster, are thinking he's just doing a favor for a guy that he has a lot of affection for. And Gus, here's something else that I've heard from reliable sources. Tim Tebow needs 3 more games to be vested in the NFL pension plan. Now, he doesn't need the money, but that's something. And I think he also wants to put an end to his career. You know, I think he's hoping to play the 1 year and put closure to the thing. But look, even if somehow he becomes a backup tight end, and I think that's all you could really expect, is he going to be around when this team gets good?
Right.
I mean, because I don't really think you really expecting the Jaguars to do much this year. You know, maybe win 4 or 5 games.
Again, I'm still trying to figure out as to why then you wouldn't just see what happens. I mean, again, they were 1-15 last year. Like, nothing worked, and you brought
in somebody.
And their tight
ends were not that great.
Well,
to me, again, I think Tim Tebow brings a locker room presence more than anything else this offseason. And me and Gus have talked about this, but it takes a lot of pressure off of
Trevor Lawrence. I don't think you can not think that is it. No one's talking about it. They're talking about Tebow, and that guy could care less.
But
what
past the
think.
Press, just in the locker room
right.
as well, it's not all on. And like I said, I don't think Trevor Lawrence is remotely incapable of being that person, but it's just, and honestly, a team that goes 1-15, I'm not sure what wouldn't fall on deaf ears that Trevor Lawrence would be saying to people, but if there's someone else in there that can also kind of garner some presence, I think that he was signed more for the locker room component than anything else.
I think the other thing is too, right? I mean, last year, Maddie, a lot of people were saying Malcolm Jenkins signing instead of Von Bell was to what? Bring in veteran presence, understand what it was like that Sean Payton weighed all this other stuff.
Yeah, and look how CJ Gardner-Johnson is saying this year.
Sean said, hey, we messed up. We need to bring Roman Harper back. I think there's something, Jack, to the effect of he knows what I want. This player, and I'm not saying that maybe it may not. I don't know. It's been humorous to hear how many people are convinced that, again, a guy that this organization hired to change a 1-15 team going in a spiral downwards, this is the wrong thing to do. It's May. Well, now June. Let's see what happens. I mean, if he goes out there and drops 6 balls and he makes the roster, have at it. I haven't seen anything, though. I don't know. Jack, got to get to break, though. Good points, though. I mean, look, You're not alone, Jack. A lot of people, though, feel that way. So we'll see. Sports Hangover coming up next. Maddie and I will discuss what happened over in the French Open and how that might maybe play into fall sports. You'll hear me out here. Sports Hangover next on ESPN New Orleans.
This NOLA Gold Report is brought to you by NOLA Gold Rugby. Be a part of the gold mine. Visit NOLAGoldRugby.com today for tickets. Coming off of a loss, facing a tough Utah team, and losing key players, the Gold were faced with questions to answer this past weekend. They did in the 29-24 win, says head coach Nate Osborne.
Timmy Gilman, he came off at halftime because he was too injured. We had to throw a kid, Kyle Rogers, into, you know, be the quarterback of the team. He's never done it. A 2-minute conversation in the locker room to catch him up on what I wanted him to do, and he ended up being man of the match and, you know, scoring the winning try. So I think that crowd and that energy and that will and that want to win after what we put out against San Diego was evident on the weekend, and super proud of that victory.
The team enjoys a bye this weekend. Coaches plan for that.
This week's all about mental recovery, not even thinking about rugby. Coming back next week with a fresh mind and, you know, freshened up bodies and getting ready to bash Atlanta. We own one.
NOLA returns to action June 5th as Atlanta comes to town. This NOLA Gold Report is brought to you by NOLA Gold Rugby. Be a part of the gold mine. Visit NOLAGoldRugby.com today for tickets.
Hey, New Orleans, this is Nate Osborne, head coach of the NOLA Gold, your Major League Rugby team.
Hey, New Orleans, it's Cole Mayer of your NOLA Gold Rugby team. The 2021 Major League Rugby season is here.
In the Shrine on Airline, now called the Gold Mine.
The Gold Mine is COVID conscious, so you can spread out around the stadium to enjoy the hard-hitting, non-stop action of Major League Rugby, filled with world-class players.
And mate, the best part is that our season tickets are about the same price as one game in other pro sports. Check us out at NOLAGoldRugby.com or just call 50 Rugby.
What happened was unthinkable. Work as we know it powered down. But Etail is here to keep business on. On to turn your home office into a powerhouse. On to plan your epic power lunch. On to keep your virtual team connected. On to make you unstoppable. This is the one thing Etail business can do for you. And that's connecting you to work every day. Etail is on for business.
Adventure, intrigue, mystery, romance.
It's a storm of entertainment that brings down the house.
Now, back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill on ESPN 100.3 FM and ESPN 1003.com.
Grand Slam tennis will address Osaka's concerns. Naomi Osaka pulled out of the French Open. And she addressed mental health, and the main reason being, Maddie, is she cites herself in a statement that she put out there that she's been dealing with depression, and it's something that made her uncomfortable. And to deal with the world's press and do these, she said it before the tournament, she just didn't want to do right now press conferences. Mm-hmm. So the four-time major champion, this isn't the 130th ranked player, if you don't follow tennis. She's number 2 in the world right now. She was fined $15,000 when she didn't speak to reporters after her first round win at Roland Garros on Sunday. The next day, Osaka pulled out of the tournament entirely, saying she experiences, quote, huge waves of anxiety, before meeting with the media and revealing she has suffered long bouts of depression. She's 23 years old, and she's kind of risen through the ranks and fame quickly. You know, you win the U.S. Open, you're on Fallon and all the, you know, the late night shows and everything. So we got pretty popular. This has taken on a very big topic this morning nationally, in that the fine line, I guess, of responsibility to the sport, your team, and the league to address reporters, yet where does mental health sort of stand here? Here's Mike Greenberg bringing up a very interesting point, because it's kind of going to go in the direction I'm going to go, and I'll let you speak a little bit more to this personally.
Julio Jones is going to get traded. Where?
Sorry, wrong one.
I was like,
this is not the one.
Okay.
That's not the one that I was looking at. Because what he was bringing up is the fact that he said that athletes don't need the media anymore. In terms of with their social media, I mean, Tom Brady is a perfect example. You kind of know what Tom Brady is doing, how Tom Brady is doing it, and all of those different aspects of it. So it's interesting to hear that from that perspective. Let's see if this is the right bite.
We are going to have a reckoning at some point in sports, because athletes, I do believe, have an obligation to their fans and an obligation to the sport they play. But they do not have an obligation to the business interests of anyone who can get a credential to cover a sporting event. And that is part of what we are seeing here. Part of the rebellion, or at least the concern on the part of a lot of athletes, is that they are being covered irresponsibly. And that is true. Certainly not in all cases, but in some. And I can see them saying, this is not my responsibility. Why do I have to talk so that these people can create businesses based on that? That's not about building up publicity for, in this case, the French Open, or for me or my brand. And it's not my talking to my fans. And athletes these days have any number of ways of communicating with their fans that have nothing to do with the media, have nothing to do with the middleman.
Kyrie Irving was fined recently, in the last month or so, for not speaking to the media by the NBA. So this isn't just some sport we don't really follow, perhaps nationally, the way we've used to in the past with tennis. This is an NBA guy, star.
I mean,
who decided,
Marshawn Lynch.
Okay, so let's just start with what Osaka's saying, though, anxiety in addressing people.
Right. Well, I was going to say, I think Mike Greenberg, where he was going, you know, his overall point was there. But I think for Naomi Osaka, especially, I'm not so sure this is like, you know, a rebellion and being covered responsibly as much as it is a very introspective way that I read her message. And I really recommend everyone to fully read her message. There were a lot of things that stuck out to me in it. She mentions that she's an introvert. She mentioned that, you know, she's not a natural public speaker. She gets huge waves of anxiety before she speaks to the media. We talk about, you know, athlete obligations on a sport, but at what point, you know, is these quote unquote obligations we've imposed affecting their ability to play the sport? You know, there are those types of feelings, those then permeate into your, you know, ability to play the sport. And what bothers me about this situation is, I mean, there's a lot of things. I think that if she wasn't a woman of color, she would be championed as, you know, a proponent of mental health. And we brought up Tom Brady and him on social media. Well, you know what else Tom Brady does? He storms off the field after games and ignores opponents when he's, you know, feeling some type of way after a loss. He doesn't get he gets lambasted for it, but then everyone speaks to his competitiveness. No one speaks to the, you know, quote, disrespect or, quote, obligation there is to be on the field, address your opponents. And, you know, that's after the game is over. But she's the, you know, yes, she's the face of the sport. But I think what she's doing now is much more important than that. And there's something called reasonable accommodations in the workplace under Title IX for, you know, people in their workplace. If they have a disability of any sort and you can't be discriminated against in any type of way. And they have to make reasonable accommodations for these types of things. So I relate to Naomi Osaka's statement a lot. And I posted a relatively personal thing on social media about this earlier. You know, I'm also very introverted. I don't necessarily come off that way. And that's kind of what's critically misunderstood about introversion, is it's less about, you know, social abilities as much as it is where you get your energy from. And introverts get their energy from recharging and being by themselves. And that extra media press conference can be the most draining thing in the entire world that not everyone can really understand. And I've gone through depression in the past. I've been in toxic work environments. When I was 23, exactly Naomi's age, I went through these same things, and learning to prioritize what's absolutely necessary. Press conferences don't necessarily always fall into that category. And I feel like mental health is getting a little more of a spotlight in sports, but here it seems like it's getting thrown to the wayside and being talked about that she's, you know, the face of this sport. But there's just no part of me that thinks that if she was, again, if a white woman, a male, anything other than a woman of color, this wouldn't be the way that things would be going about. And like I said, you know, Marshawn Lynch, that was a whole running joke thing, but said this to you before. Do you ever think he would have been able, you know, barred from playing in a championship? A male tennis player be threatened with defaulting from a match? So this whole thing just really, you know, I think we really need to examine what athlete obligations are and what they quote unquote owe us as fans.
One of the things I talked to you about during the break there, when I knew we were going to approach this subject here as well, is over the last year when we got back to action, back to sports, matter of fact, the last several times during the NFL draft, Zoom meetings, Zoom interviews. I wonder if, and you would know this better than me, would you feel more comfortable than being in the room with 15, 20 people? And again, this is Roland Garros. Right. It's a lot bigger than
right.
that. Just think of playoffs and the amount of credentialed media. Okay, this is a grand slam. So this isn't the, you know, Hudak Invitational on the North Shore.
Right.
Not that, that wouldn't be a highly covered event,
I'm not
Maddie.
Taking it personally.
But it's a, you know, it's the Masters. I mean, you have tents and buildings of media. Some people okay with that. Would you think that maybe this could be a way where you look at the fact of if a player comes to you and says mental health? Because we've had a lot of college football players this past season and NFL players say that. And be like, you know what? I'm going to be, can I just do Zoom?
Yeah.
Instead of in a locker room with something like that.
And that's what I was speaking to, of those reasonable accommodations that you would get in a normal workplace environment for people that have, you know, I was diagnosed with ADHD after suffering from a concussion, and my job, you know, I told them and they moved me to a place in the corner so I didn't have any visual distractions. You know, there are accommodations people can make, and I just don't understand why the first response to this wasn't let's threaten her to get out of this match, but not let's try to accommodate her and see what if we spoke to her coach? What if we conversed via email? What if we talked via Zoom?
That's what I'm saying. You fined her $15,000 and said you want to continue to fine and threaten to throw her out. I mean, this is a four-time champion.
And it's come out that she was willing, you know, to work with.
She says she privately messaged them.
Yeah.
And said it. What can we do to, I mean, she brought up, and you were reading some things from her statement, that's why you always see her with headphones. To try to, like, block out.
I walk around with noise cancellation headphones all the time. I really like, relate to this situation on a really.
Well, the Washington football team, did you see what they did over the weekend?
Did not.
Actually, they announced it this morning at 8 o'clock. Washington announces Dr. Barbara Roberts as Director of Wellness and Clinical Services. The Washington football team is hiring the highly regarded psychologist as the team's first full-time Director of Wellness and Clinical Services, one of seven in the NFL now. Dr. Roberts is only the fourth full-time clinician with a PhD in psychology currently working for an NFL franchise. I find this not only fascinating, but I think it makes so much sense. When you're investing this kind of money, and let's be honest, right? Players are your investments. If, for example, the Pelicans went out and got one of the best medical doctors and upgraded their medical facility by $1 million when David Griffin got here because they wanted to have their players and give them the best medical care physically, it makes all the sense in the world to also give them the best medical care mentally. Whether it's somebody to talk to, whether it's somebody on retainer, whether it's a member of the team like this is, I think it makes sense.
I've always thought that there should be an in-house psychologist on every single major sports team. I do not understand why that's the case. I don't understand, like you said, why all of these physical, you know, to make them as healthy and as strong as they could be. Look at Andrew Luck. He didn't retire because of the injuries themselves. He retired because of the mental hell that was the cycle of rehabbing, knowing that it was coming again. And that was all mental for him. And he was largely likely left by himself and maybe, you know, sought outside help. But there's not just, you know, even if, you know, there's people that think, you know, mental health in sports is important, maybe this will help put it in context as well. It also affects how players play, that it's completely aside from mental health as its own thing, but there is such thing as sports psychology and choking and things like that. The person that called the timeout when there were no timeouts left in that NCAA game, and people look at him like, what did you just do? And I talked a lot about this with Drew Brees last season, and you know, wondering, you know, whether players, when they see all these comments about themselves, how that affects them.
I was just going to get into that. I want to go to the break because we're at the bottom of the hour. When we come back, that's where I want to go next, because I wonder if the need for this more, because I've heard it from some friends and my neighbors a little older. It's like, man, you get paid the money. What is it? You're not as tough. Athletes today are dealing with things that are, and look, I'm not putting as all, because there are some athletes like Jimmy and others that I've seen in Saints locker room that will duck you because the tough questions are coming. That's different, right? If you love the praise when you're doing well, and then all of a sudden you can't handle it, that's completely different. If you have a legit medical or mental issue, I support it. You not getting a good pass or not having the right catch, and all of a sudden you poke behind the door to see if we're in the locker room, and then you chuckle and go, I'm not going in there, that's completely different to me.
Oh,
yeah. And I understand that.
But again, it just, to me, it doesn't have to be that they're having a mental health issue, but there is, again, right, there is such thing as sports psychology. So I think there is a dual component of this where I think that it is sometimes critical to play, and those rookie quarterbacks that get the yips,
yeah,
and things like that.
Oh, again, if I'm going to invest this much money financially to make sure you're physically ready to go,
it makes perfect sense
to do it like that, because again, I do think they deal things differently. They don't know whether you like it or not. Right?
Yeah.
I mean, when I started his career 20 years ago, I'd have to worry if I had a bad show or something. My wife reading, I'm a blah, 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 blah. Jordan got crushed for some, I don't, you know, he's like, you know, that guy shouldn't be on there. I'm like, and it bothered him.
I mean, yeah, I'm a woman, you know, in sports. I'm keenly familiar with the,
but that's what I'm saying. Like, it bothered him. Like, right. Todd, and I'm like, dude, don't listen to that. Like, don't. And that's what I'm getting at. I mean, those athletes, and I say this all the time, these college athletes that on signing day, we're just, oh my God, he's great. And then we finally see him in the fall and he blows a play. They're ready to move on from the kid. Same kid they couldn't wait, you know, to have.
I'll just quickly say, I actually remember after the Minneapolis Miracle messaging Marcus Williams on Twitter. I'm sure, I don't know if he read it, yeah, but I just wanted to say, like, I am sure you're getting a barrage of hate comments right now, but like, you're a rookie. Keep your head up. Like, it'll get better than this. Like, right. People really just, again, forget to, you know.
But to your point, what if it affected him a year or two? I've thought maybe he tried to overdo some things sometimes. So to your point, you have somebody on staff that can talk to you about it. It would help. Gus Cattigo, Matty Hudak, open phone lines. We want to comment on this here as well. We'll touch on the playoffs. And again, what do you think of athletes not wanting to speak? What do you think of fans throwing things? It's a very interesting time right now in sports. Really, honestly is. Sports Hangover continues next.
I will always be with you. Doesn't matter what you do.
A new name, a new era. TGMC is now Terrebonne General Health System. This change reflects our transition to more of an all-around healthcare partner rather than just a healthcare provider. With new facilities, new innovations, and new ways to help you, we've done more than change our name. We've changed our future. To see what's new at Terrebonne General Health System, visit tghealthsystem.com.
It's so on. The SiriusXM Listen Free event is happening now. Just press the sat button in your car to hear over 100 channels, including ad-free music of every kind, plus sports play-by-play and talk-in news for everyone. Enjoy even more free when you download the SXM app. Hear expertly curated podcasts, ad-free extra channels of music for any mood, SiriusXM video, and the ability to create your own Pandora music stations. Don't miss out. Listen free now.
It's time for some straight talk. Sure, saving money feels good, but cutting your wireless bill in half, that feels really good. Like walk-off home run in the ninth inning kind of good. Okay, maybe not that good, but pretty darn good. With Straight Talk, you can get 25 gigs of high-speed data for $45 a month, up to 50% less than the other guys, plus no contract. All in America's best networks. Why pay a whole lot when you could pay half? Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise.
It's the perfect season for a powerful business upgrade with Dell Technologies Summer Sale Event. Save up to 45% on secure PCs built for business with Windows 10 Pro. You'll also find great savings on Dell servers, monitors, docks, and other accessories to help boost productivity. Plus, enjoy free shipping on everything. Do more with modern devices and Windows 10 Pro. Call 877-ASK-DELL for a Dell Technologies advisor who can help you find the right tech. That's 877-ASK-DELL for business specials during Dell's Summer Sale Event.
How can we be excited about a show where we just talk?
Talk sports.
That's how they talk in the Major League.
Now back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengau.
So, Maddie, yes. Minicamp coming. Now we're in the month of minicamp. We've hit the June. But June 1st, obviously, big dates that we've been hearing about, or at least this date we've been hearing about, could be big for two particularly big-name players, Aaron Rodgers first, and Julio Jones. Do you think, if at all, any of that takes place? Now that we're here for June 1st, it's just think of this. It's the salary cap thing. It's easier for teams to move forward
right
in a trade for these two players starting today.
To quickly explain it, it's that you can basically spread the cap hit out over more than, you know, just one season,
right.
Whereas if you cut them prior to that year, the cap hit is all applied to that season. So that's like, you know, a lot of Saints fans probably saw the post June 1st getting thrown around all the time, and that's exactly why.
Now, the post June 1st thing, you know, a lot of it's been applied to Aaron Rodgers if they're going to do that or not. Last week, obviously, when he spoke with Kenny Mayne, it really came out. It's basically him versus the GM.
Yeah, you want to go back to sports psychology?
Right.
Honestly, think about, like, that's the Green Bay Packers cycle of quarterbacks is like probably one of the best examples of like
I would need a degree to understand what's going on with him.
but just thinking about how that affects the quarterbacks mm-hmm. themselves, like again, I've never been a huge Aaron Rodgers fan, and I'm all of a sudden, you know, this huge Aaron Rodgers fan because like I really don't blame him for the way that he's feeling from just again, you know, a mental perspective of like always looking over your shoulder and being treated that way. So I don't know. I mean, the question is, I know that Denver is being highly touted, but we were just talking about this off air the other day, you know, Teddy Bridgewater and Drew Locke are already there. Do they really inject a third quarterback in that room? In which case, what do they do with the other ones?
Right.
I don't know. What do you see doing? In your gut, does Aaron Rodgers stay or does the GM go, or do they both stay?
Look, I understand an aspect of you want to make your player happy. I do. Especially a player that has meant that much to you. At the same time, as I said last week, Maddie, you look at age and you look at all that, and he wants a new contract extension. Well, what am I doing with Jordan Love then? You know, why did I move up to go get him? How am I retarding his growth by, A, not supporting him? I mean, the comments this, you know, last month where like, well, he's got a long, 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 long way to go. Well, thank you guys for, you know, making me feel.
Jordan Love has been set up to fail by this entire situation no matter what.
Well, and then think of this. And again, we're talking about psychology and how it affects these players and fans as well. Here's Rob Demoski, covers the Packers for ESPN. And he talks about Packers fans and if they'd be able to see Aaron Rodgers a certain way, if he forces this to happen.
I'm not sure the sentiment right now is all that pro-Rodgers in the sense that Rodgers doesn't want to be here. And people, I don't care what team you root for, but it's especially this way in Green Bay because it's such a small town. If you don't want to be here, people don't want you here. Like that is, it's a very provincial place. If Aaron Rodgers doesn't want to be here, he all of a sudden goes from one of them to one of the others.
Okay, but if you unpack the reasons he doesn't want to be there, it's not that he doesn't want to be there.
He doesn't like that guy.
No, it's because they didn't, you know, clue him in. They traded up to select his replacement when they had been to the championship game the year before, refused to give him an extension that offseason. Then he won MVP, and then they still refused to do so. How does that not imply I don't want to be here? You're telling me that I shouldn't be here, basically. You just gave me my notice. So I just, and the sentiment when this happened with Wilson was very not pro-Wilson either. It's very much been pro team. And I you know, NBA fans, these players in the NBA do it all the time, and their contracts allow them to kind of do so and have more control over these teams. And yeah, Tom Brady has made his little super team in Tampa Bay, but that's not what all these players are trying to do. They want to stay on the playbook when they're trying to build a legacy for themselves. They want to know that they can retire with this team that they've, you know, brought to a Super Bowl, or at least be told before the draft, hey, we might be looking at this quarterback. I always think back to when the Saints almost drafted Patrick Mahomes. Drew came back early from a fishing trip. Sean looked him in the face and said, if Mahomes is there, I'm going to take him. That's how you...
Yeah, and Drew even said he was taken aback.
Yeah. But like, at least he gave him the heads up.
Can you imagine covering that and how that would have been?
I don't want to talk about the world that we could have been in if Patrick Mahomes had been drafted.
But here's my point. How long would you have waited? That's what I'm saying. Like, and that's why I'm bringing that up, Maddie, and I'm glad you sort of did, because we just went through that to an extent. The season ended in that loss against Tampa Bay, and for a week solid, the phone calls were Drew lost us the game. Drew's the reason we haven't been to the same man that's played quarterback for this franchise 1 million times better than any other quarterback. Like, it's not even debatable. The guy is a Hall of Famer, and yet there are a ton of people in the city that absolutely believe the organization should have moved on from him 2 years earlier. So that's why I bring this up, though, is what do you do for your Green Bay? I'm the owner.
You tell the player, we are going to be looking at Jordan Love in this draft. You give him the heads up.
So you're thinking, okay, but
when they were originally the Jordan Love.
Right, so I messed this up earlier. I'm talking about today. Like, am I picking Rodgers over this general manager, or am I picking the general manager in the future of this team? Because let's be honest, if you want to say GM doesn't know what he's doing, they've been in the NFC Championship in the last 2 years. They
Agreed.
Got a pretty good team.
But
so what do you do?
I think you also ask Jordan Love, because I think about how Jordan Love must feel in this situation. I'm not sure I would want to be the third quarterback on this carousel of getting thrown out the door, kind of like
that's
leftovers.
Interesting you bring up. I've seen a lot of people nationally say, hey, if Aaron wants to be here and you want to go give him that new deal, but I'm not sitting here for four more years doing all this stuff, because I'm with you. You have set that guy up. The first pick he throws,
But ask him, you know, what if, again, not just not wanting to sit under that for 4 years, but whether he wants to be under this GM and possibly have this happen to him in the future. It's really hard to ignore that for me.
We've seen this. Per the reports now that we found out after he left Tampa Bay, this is what happened, right, with Tom Brady and Jimmy G.
Right.
Brady went to Kraft.
Uh-huh.
He went to Kraft. He didn't even talk to Bill. He went to Kraft and said, I don't want this dude here.
Yep.
I mean, think about that. If I'm the Patriots, they did everything right. Let's build a guy. Let's get a guy. Because what's incredible to me is everyone always brings up the Packers situation that, you know, the best case scenario is one Hall of Famer out the door, the next Hall of Famer. But in the two cases that I can think of off the top of my head, Green Bay, San Francisco, what did Joe Montana do? Couldn't handle it. I'm out. They went to KC. And they handed the keys to, but Steve Young had to deal with that the first year. So, but those are the only two cases. Everyone acts like this is the way to do it.
Well, it's not just
not that many teams have actually done it. Yeah. And it's difficult to do when you're pushing out or you're waiting for the fall or the drop of your guy that's going into the Hall of Fame. I mean, Brett Favre is a Hall of Famer. Let's draft somebody just in case.
Yeah. But I was just going to say, there's
Joe Montana's a Hall of Famer.
There's also the case of Peyton Manning.
Yeah.
And, you know, they kind of were proactive with that, but they handled it respectfully. That's the
right. So it's how you handle it.
So much. Everyone knows that they're going to be replaced eventually. I mean, that's ridiculous to assume otherwise.
Right.
But it's the way that you handle it with the player. And, and the thing with the Patriots is, again, it wasn't that, you know, Bill Belichick jumped up draft spots when they were one, you know, piece away from perhaps a Super Bowl berth to select a quarterback. Where I'd have to look at the stats on this, but I'm pretty sure Bill drafts a lot of quarterbacks a lot of the time. It's just he seemed to be kind of enamored with Jimmy G. And I think Tom might have been a little jealous, honestly, more than anything else.
Right.
But I don't. To me, it's not necessarily the same thing as it was with Jordan Love, and it's not even the same with it what was with Brett Favre, because Aaron Rodgers did fall into their lap. The difference is they made a proactive decision mm-hmm. to leap up and select this guy, and the message that that sends is we are actively moving on at this point.
No doubt, and it'll be interesting to see what this team does now. It's, again, it's past June 1st. One quick final bite on this from Ron.
I'm not sure any organization would ever just fire a general manager who's put together a roster that's gone 26-6 the last 2 years and has been in the NFC Championship game 2 years in a row. And the other thing, I think it sets a really bad precedent for players, you know, being able to dictate it. Now, look, there's different rules for different players, and Aaron Rodgers probably feels like he's earned that right. And you know what? If you drive into Green Bay and see that massive stadium and see all the development around it, Aaron Rodgers and Brett Favre probably both figure like, hey, without us, they don't build this. They don't renovate the stadium. They don't build this big title town district around it. So I understand why they feel like they're owed something a little bit more. That does make total sense to me. But I just don't think that the way the organization operates, they would ever choose a player over the general manager who has built the team to what it is now. Right or wrong, whether you agree with it or don't agree with it, that's just the fact of the way they operate.
Again, ask Jordan Love how he feels, because I think...
How much of that 26-6 is Aaron Rodgers?
I mean,
the guy won the MVP.
Hello?
tough spot. All right, I need you to pick a Saints player on offense, a Saints player on defense, you think needs to have a big year next year. And I don't just specifically mean statistics now. Okay? But you don't want to come back. Sports Hangover on ESPN New Orleans.
Born to be alive. Born to be alive. You see before. Born. Born to be alive.
Summer heat is approaching, and so are the red hot deals.
Red hot deals.
At Craig LeBlanc Toyota in Houma. Shop online at CraigLeBlancToyota.com or at the store. Great offers like the sporty 21 Toyota Camry or the Corolla with class-leading gas mileage and complimentary two-year maintenance. Or the stylish and dependable 2021 RAV4 and Highlander. Stop by Craig LeBlanc Toyota and make this a summer to remember with your new Toyota. Only at your number one volume dealer in Houma. Craig LeBlanc Toyota.
Hey, New Orleans, this is Nate Osborne, head coach of the NOLA Gold, your Major League Rugby team.
Hey, New Orleans, it's Cole Mayer of your NOLA Gold rugby team. The 2021 Major League Rugby season is here.
In the Shrine on Airline, now called the Gold Mine.
The Gold Mine is COVID conscious, so you can spread out around the stadium to enjoy the hard-hitting, non-stop action of Major League Rugby, filled with world-class players.
And mate, the best part is that our season tickets are about the same price as one game in other pro sports. Check us out at NOLAGoldRugby.com or just call 50 Rugby.
Always on the run and short on cash? With a State Bank and Trust Company debit card, you can pay for goods and services without the need for cash in your pockets or the hassle of writing checks. Available on all consumer and commercial checking account holders. Call or stop by any State Bank and Trust location for all the details. State Bank and Trust Company. Cajun banking served just the way you like it. Member FDIC.
Avenue Wine Spirits has one of the largest and most diverse wine and spirit selections in the city. At 2025 St. Charles Avenue, Avenue Wine Spirits has some of the rarest bourbons, wines, and Japanese whiskeys, like 18-year-old Yamasaki. Avenue Wine and Spirits sells wine by the glass, and they've got free delivery for orders over $20. Dial 504-522-3864. Never show up empty-handed to a watch party again. Avenue Wine and Spirits, 2025 St. Charles Avenue.
Got a hot take?
Everybody listen up.
Let's hear it. Call us at 800-998-1003.
Answer that phone.
Or tweet us at ESPN Radio NOLA. Now, back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
We're going to have a little fun here getting into the month of June. As towards the end of the month, we'll have that mini camp. It'll be the first full time we'll get to see at least a snapshot. I'm assuming we'll be out there and be able to see, which is going to be odd. It's been a while.
Yeah.
So we've been able to watch practice and everything. And there's going to be so much. Like, I'm going to have you look at one side. I'm looking at one side because it's just going to be a lot. So it just kind of got me thinking. And not saying we're going to be definitive now or anything. But I'm just top of your head. What player do you think, or position if you want to go that route, mm-hmm. needs to have a big season for the Saints. Now, it's easy, you know, to say starting quarterback Jameis Winston. Yeah. Duh. I mean.
Well.
And it could still be. That's fine. But I'm talking about my thought process of it. It could be this guy who finally we saw a video. There he is, Alvin Kamara, on a balance board, stiff-arming his trainer with a big old medicine ball.
Right, as opposed to the small years that he's had in the past?
Yes. So, well, let's try again. And that's an accurate thing. I can make the case for that. I wanted to just try something different and go off the beaten path with it.
Mm-hmm.
Offense and defense. On offense, Maddie, center.
Yep.
Now, with Eric McCoy, did such a good job. They drafted Ruiz in hopes that he would play center. But couldn't last year because of COVID. So he played guard. The belief is the move will happen this offseason and transition him to center. Yes, the quarterback battle is big. The reason I'm saying center is because we can say Thomas, guy caught 11 balls with Taysom Hill. Things going to be fine with whoever that was. Kamara's Kamara. Get him the ball. I could give him the ball, and it's still going to be Alvin Kamara. But the reason I brought that up, because I copied and pasted a story yesterday to you from Teddy Bridgewater.
Mm-hmm.
And Teddy Bridgewater in it, specifically, I want to be able to pull it up and read it right, but the reason I sent it to you is because Bridgewater specifically said, quote, playing in that system with Sean Payton and Joe Brady, you're asked to do a lot at the line of scrimmage. In the run game, getting guys lined up, IDing the mic in the run, and in the pass game. Bridgewater also explained, a lot was on my plate, so it's prepared me for this next chapter. I'm looking forward to growing this offense and continuing to help guys elevate their game, and now he's in Denver with somebody that used to be in Minnesota with him. That's fine. The reason I brought that up is because you don't have Drew Brees. And most any other team, I've spoken to offensive linemen, the center does a lot of that communication. Picking up defenses. Last year, Taysom Hill, line of scrimmage, Tron Armstead turns back.
He ain't coming, Taysom.
Yeah, the TV mics clearly picked up saying, don't worry, this guy that's showing blitz is not coming.
Yep.
So, we're having a position switch by a guy.
Maybe.
Then a new quarterback. So who's the leader of that offensive line? You know, who's going to be calling out those calls? Who's going to be doing those things? So I'm going to go center.
Okay.
Ruiz, question mark. In other words, I think it's going to be him. But if it is, that's his first year as a starting center in the NFL with a new starting quarterback on this offense. That, again, in this Sean Payton offense, which we're going to delve into here, something really cool coming up here this month. We're going to do the Hudak Files. And I'm going to mess that up a couple times, but I wanted to do that. Hudak Hudak Files. Every Tuesday, we'll take something specifically, like my defensive guy coming up, and delve into it. But I think the team's starting center needs to have a big season.
Mm-hmm.
So that may not be like statistically, but somebody that's competent, capable, does the calls, helps the new starting quarterback, run blocks, pass blocks, all that. But more importantly, I think mentally, especially, since Bridgewater this weekend said, man, they're asking a lot of their quarterbacks there.
Well, I agree with you, but I'll kind of raise it outside of the position, and I'll actually kind of put it more on the player, and I think that it is Cesar Ruiz, because to me, it's not clear whether he will move to center or not. I know that was like you said, that was the intention. Then there was no offseason, no OTAs, no preseason, and so he was playing in an unintended role last year, but, I mean, you know, I was at that week 10 game where Breeze was annihilated, and that was right through Cesar Ruiz. And it doesn't matter if Taysom Hill, Jameis Winston, Trevor Siemian, Ian Book, whoever off the street is under center. If the line collapses in the interior, that is where every single Saints loss, especially in the playoff games a lot of the time, that interior collapse is what lost largely that Vikings game in 2019. It's a really big point of weakness, and a lot of people, you know, chirp about Andres Pete, but if you go back and look at a lot of the tape, and please go look at Deuce Windham's Twitter threads about this, because he's the first one that's made me ever pause on this. A lot of the time he was getting tripped up either by McCoy or Ruiz, and that's why he's on the ground. And So, you know, I think Cesar Ruiz being the first round draft pick last year, and the, you know, he kind of needs to be the guy, whether it's under center or at that, you know, at that guard role. And I, you know, I don't think Zach Schrieff was brought in on accident.
I think
before a quarterback coach.
Right. And that's what I'm, that's why it just, it, to me, that sort of screams on the defensive side. Remember Pro Football Focus had their starting lineup, you know, that Shy Tuttle, in that middle there as well, along next to Onyemata. I don't, not saying at all Shy Tuttle in it. So I'm just going to say, who's Malcolm Brown's guy?
Yeah.
Who's the new Malcolm Brown? And I tasked you, maybe, perhaps, or asked you if we can do maybe our first Hudak files into, was this team, because we seem to say it a lot, media and fans, this team was so much better when Malcolm Brown was in there. Is there a stat? Is there an analytical view that proves that? My eyes told me yes. Players say yes. Mm-hmm. A lot of people that cover the team say yes. But is there something substantial I can look at, because I want to then be able to use that measurement in the upcoming season?
Right.
Right? Yes. They drafted Peyton Turner. We hope Davenport can. Cam Jordan, please show up. That's great. We know that. But if you can't stop the run,
yep,
you're in trouble. And I know this is a passing league. You have to stop the run when, you know,
well,
you're trying to win
you
a
say
game.
It's a passing league, but if you let the run game run right through you,
you're
then,
done. The
then they've also opened the passing game.
Correct.
So
the Raiders won that game in Las Vegas at the end. That. Just I know they That's ran the football. But my point is, so that to me, who's this year's Malcolm Brown?
Yeah.
So I went a stuck line. Marlon's going to love this in two segments. We'll talk about, you know, that. But I think that's key. Yes, the guy next to DeMario Davis. Yes, the second corner. Those are all right answers. I'm just saying I personally went off the beaten path for those reasons. We'll take yours, 800-998-1003. And at ESPN Radio NOLA, who do you like on
yeah.
that?
Yeah, and I don't think it's I don't think it's so off the beaten path, because I think it kind of affects everything. I think that affects DeMario Davis's role and then that linebacker role. But you said the second cornerback. I'm going to go Marshawn Lattimore. I think that he has to put up or shut up this year, and it might, you know, hopes are high that it's Paulson Adebo. If it's not, and they don't sign a free agent, he is the talent out there, and this is, you know, he's been inconsistent, and he really needs to be a lockdown corner this year at nothing else other than to allow C.J. Gardner-Johnson, someone else, to be able to divert to the other side and help compensate on that other side. He really needs to be able to hold his own on that side of the field. So that's, to me, really where this goes, especially with Tom Brady in our, you know, division now, who could sling it, mm-hmm. and a lot of really good, quick, deep receivers in our division. Lattimore has to be able to lock them down.
That's a good point, because if that position is up and down, then probably that secondary is going to be up and down. If I mean, he's the talent back there. I agree with you on that.
Yeah.
You know? So let's see. But I'd love to get your thoughts, Saints fans. Or you think, again, for that reason I'm talking about, it could be statistically. It could not be statistically. It's just, who do you think that position really you've got to have this year step up? If that makes sense to you. Hour two like that, Maddie's in the books. Coming up next hour, only guest is Marlon Favorite at 2:15. Three games in the NBA tonight. We can touch on that here as well. It's the Sports Hangover on ESPN New Orleans.
Friends, if you're in a job you can't stand or worried your unemployment benefits will be ending, you need to go to mycomputercareer.edu and fill out the free career evaluation form. I've personally spoken to them, and apparently, employers are lining up to hire their graduates. In as little as 4 months, you could start your career in the growing cybersecurity and networking fields. Grants covering up to 53% of the cost are available to those who qualify. It's not rocket science. It's mycomputercareer.edu. Tell them Max sent you.
Goodyear knows the importance of keeping momentum as you head down the stretch. Momentum starts with movement. It's pulled from the air like a contested rebound. Momentum builds with steals and fast breaks, and is proven by deep threes as the shot clock expires. Momentum is how we change the game, and now it's time to discover where it can take us. Goodyear, more driven.
Hello, this is your apartment. I need some favors from you. Your cat keeps rubbing against the kitchen island, and I can't return the favor. Can you give her extra pets for me?
After that, could you bundle your renters and car insurance with GEICO? We could save money, and it's easy to do online. And one last thing. Could you leave the TV on during the day? I need to catch up on my soaps.
GEICO. For bundling made easy, go to geico.com today.
Keyshawn, Jay Will, and Zubin.
I always worry about Alex Smith moving forward. He wants to play. I wish him the damn best of luck to play. I would love to see him maybe be a backup quarterback down, maybe in Jacksonville, work with a guy like Trevor Lawrence, transition that into a coach. But every time he steps on the field, I'm worried like hell for him because I think it's much more important for Alex Smith to think about running with his kids more so than running on the football field.
Keyshawn, Jay Will, and Zubin. Weekday mornings at 6 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
You're listening to ESPN 100.3 FM. KLRZ, La Rose, New Orleans, and the River Region.
It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Hello, sports fans.
Whoa, hello there.
Local sports, national sports. The GCAT has got you covered.
Oh, you made a wise choice, my friend.
Time to tee it up and let it fly. It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Check it out, George.
It is hour number three. Gus Kattengill, Matty Hudak with you. We've thrown a couple of several different things and topics today. We'd love you to chime in on and join in the conversation. 800-998-1003 at ESPN.com.